This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Sumich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three, Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown, Joe Cirullo in 2 hours down, one to go. Where did the time go, buddy? I mean, they always say it flies when you're having fun, and this has just been a blast.
Yeah, it's just a couple of good-looking dudes talking baseball, man. I mean, it's probably what I'd be doing in the group chat if I wasn't here with you, so it's a fun way to start my weekend.
Iowa, Illinois is 6.5 or 7. That 7.5 has been gobbled up at BetMGM. So people did not allow that to last very long. So hopefully if you were looking to get in on that with Iowa, you were able to pick that one off. But 6.5, 7 out there in the market right now. 138.5 is your market low. That's at FanDuel, all the way up to 139.5, which is your market high sitting right now at MGM and DraftKings. Our late game, Purdue and Arizona, is 5.5 everywhere except for Caesars. You can catch a 6 if you want that with Purdue over there at Caesars. 152.5, the market low on the total. 153.5, the market high on the total. You do have bets in both of these games.
Yeah, I'm on the Hawkeyes catching a touchdown, man. Mm-hmm. You know, it comes down to a variety of things, but coaching and defense, really the two things I'm looking at. And Illinois, to their credit, they've played great defense this tournament. Coming into the tournament, they were not playing good defense at all. And you look at Ben McCollum, that's what his teams do. Last year, Drake, turnover machines, great defensive squad, mid-major darlings that everyone loved. This year, Iowa, you know, so-so regular season, right? You're going from Drake to the Big Ten. It's an adjustment. They go 10-10 in conference play. It's respectable. They control the pace. No matter what, whether they win or lose, they typically control the pace and they turn you over. Over 18% of opponent possessions result in turnovers. 12th best mark in the country this year. Illinois, it's under 10% of opponent possessions that result in a turnovers. Forget percentile, forget ranks near the bottom. It's dead last. Chicago State is better at turning opponents over than Illinois. They're 365 out of 365. So if the Hawkeyes dictate the pace and they win the turnover battle, I just don't see a world in which they don't keep this game, a three-possession game, according to the spread, somewhat close.
Yeah, and in that Arizona-Purdue game, Joe, like we said, there is a 6 if you want it with Purdue. They've pretty much all been bought up, so we're at 5.5 now in favor of Arizona. It seems like everybody wants to be on Purdue in this one, but maybe my eyes deceive me. I'm not saying that Purdue is not deserving, and I'm not that they don't deserve to be on the court or anything like that with Arizona, but from what I've seen from Arizona, I am not all that worried about Purdue. And like I said, I do think that this Arizona team is going to attack them down low, see if they can't get those two big guys in foul trouble early. We have seen some foul trouble from this Purdue team early on in games. And I think that's going to be a strategy here for Arizona, who, by the way, has shot the most free throws in the tournament so far, has the most paint points in the tournament so far. I'm going to be on the wrong. Maybe I'm on the wrong side of this, and certainly seems like everybody wants to be on Purdue. But I think I'm going to go ahead and just lay the cheap 5.5 that I'm getting right now.
I'm with you. Mm. I've already laid the 5.5 on Arizona, and you know I don't want to discount Purdue because this Purdue team, for I think, as disappointing of a regular season as they had. They were ranked number one in the country earlier in the year. Then in conference play, they go just, what, 12-8, 13-7. It was a disappointing regular season, specifically a disappointing conference play go-round for Matt Painter's Purdue team. But I discounted them in the conference tournament, and they went wire to wire. They, you know, their seed in the conference tournament was way beneath what they had expected and anticipated going into Big Ten play. And they went wire to wire, won the whole thing. I discounted them against Michigan, and they went and beat them outright. Forget covering, as pretty sizable dogs there. So the last thing I want to do is discount a Purdue team that in the postseason is 7-0 and ranks second nationally in offensive rating in those 7 games and 7th nationally in net rating. But their flaw, a deficient defense. They rank 180th in defensive rating in those 7 games, whereas Arizona this year, start to finish, their defensive rating places 6th nationally. And in postseason play, 7th in offensive rating, 3rd in net rating. So Arizona is more well-rounded than Purdue. They are deeper than Purdue, and they are much better defensively than Purdue. I think the Boilermakers will be inside this number for the first 30 minutes. Frankly, I'd be shocked if this is a runaway train, no pun intended with the Boilermakers, but I'd be shocked if it's a runaway train and Arizona goes wire to wire like they did against Arkansas. I think we might be sweating for 30 minutes and then the Wildcats pull away in the final 10. To your point also with the free throws, they're hitting them. So if it becomes a foul fest late, that bodes well for us.
We are going to have Ryan McIntyre join us next segment. We will get his thoughts on, of course, both of today's games as well as tomorrow's games as well. We just had a touchdown over here in the UFL. It is now 13-10 in favor of the 4.5-point dog. What are they, the Battle Hawks?
Battle Hawks.
Yeah.
Dude, I saw a woman in the stands not too long ago decked out with the blue hair blue face paint. And
why not?
I'm like, she had like shoulder pads on. I'm like, are we doing this?
You're like, you can't be that excited about it. You just can't be.
Like, no come way. On. what are we doing here?
Who are you trying to fool?
I know St. Louis doesn't have like a team and a dog in the fight right now, but like, I don't know. I'd expect her to be more excited about Big Ten basketball in the Elite Eight than the freaking Battle Hawks. Like, what are we doing?
Gary Woodland got the stroke back over there in Houston. So he's sitting at 13 under, two clear of Sam Stevens and Jason Day. Stevens is 3 under through 5 and Day is 2 under through 4. So they're going well. Nikolai Højgaard got the stroke back as well. So he's sitting at 10 under. He and Woodland both even par on the day, but there are some scorers out there right now. Bo Hostler's 4 under through 11. Steven Yeager's 4 under through 10. We got Vince Whaley. We got Jonathan Vegas, Sahith Thegala. These are all guys sitting 2 or 3 under on the day. So we will see what the leaders can do here as they're just about 4 or 5 holes in right now over there in that one. And guys, if you were here with us earlier, Jacob deGrom scratched by the Rangers. Jacob Latz is going to go for them. With that, this line moved out to Phillies -154 with Aaron Nola on the hill for them. You can catch about 130 for the Rangers. But as we start to look down the slate here a little bit more, we do have the Pirates and the Mets. Joe, this is -175 in favor of your Mets with David Peterson on the hill. Mitch Keller is going for the Pirates +144 on that side. 7.5 is the total. How does Peterson and the Mets match up against the Pirates here today?
You know, Matt, this is a stay away for me. Mm-hmm. Both teams had the off day yesterday to reset. I'd like the Mets more if there was no off day and they could ride that momentum of knocking Skeens around, getting him out of there after 2/3 of an inning on Thursday. Worst start of his career. Do need to acknowledge O'Neill Cruz's play in center field. I mean, It, two things can be true, right? It was the worst start of Paul Skeens' career.
He was not sharp, but also it should have been out of there with 2 runs. You probably should have been out of there with 2 runs or 3 runs or something like that. Yes, it was just, he was not sharp, but oh my gosh, O'Neill Cruz. Wow. I mean, that was horrific.
That being the worst start of his career speaks to how unimaginably tremendous he's been the past, nearly 2 full seasons. Cruz made that first inning way more unnecessarily laborious for Skeens than it needed to be. So I would have loved no off day so the Mets could ride the momentum. Now, not only does the momentum pause, but the weather has also shifted dramatically. We're looking at, 70 degrees it was opening day in Queens. Now I believe it's going to be in the 40s for a 4 p.m. first pitch in New York. So it's going to be chillier. Peterson last year was an all-star, incredible first half of the season. Second half, he absolutely stunk. So, and I believe Mitch Keller has decent numbers against the Mets in his career. It's a stay away for me. I will say I'm already eyeing tomorrow's Met Pirate game. You're getting an early start. Now, it's not a day game after a night game because, frankly, they're doing what I think should always be done. 4 p.m. Saturday into the 1 p.m. Sunday. I think that's like perfect for baseball. But still, it's an early start. You might get some guys getting their first start of the year, some backups getting in there, almost certainly, backup catcher. So you might get some reserves in the lineup, and Nolan McLean might be the Mets' best pitcher. So I will be eyeing a K-prop. I'm hoping, because it's his first start of the year, we can get a steal at 5.5, not too juiced. But I'd go up to an over on 6.5 for McLean. Nothing in today's Mets-Pirates game, but folks, keep an eye out. I am already dying to bet McLean in Sunday's Mets-Pirates game.
We will have some Nolan McLean stuff here a little bit later as we get to more predictions for me, but you're right. I look out here, you and I, West Coast, Best Coast here, but it is 51 degrees in St. Louis. It is 40 in Chicago. It is 48 over there in Baltimore, 46 in Philly, 49 in Cincinnati, 43 there in New York, as you just said. So a lot of these games that are going to be going here are going to be playing in suboptimal hitting conditions for sure.
Yeah, and it's maybe, you know, I haven't looked at the total too closely in that Mets Pirates game. While I'm you know, going on a little soliloquy here, you can maybe pull that up. But I would say maybe after that offensive outburst opening day, what was the final there? 11-5 Mets over the Pirates. Maybe this is a spot to come back and look at an under between Keller and Peterson. Hopefully Peterson looks the way he did first half last year. It was really a tale of two seasons for DP, but maybe an under here as the temperatures dropped, you know, 27 degrees from where it was first pitch Thursday.
Yeah, it's sitting 7.5 and I'm kind of with you. I mean, I know, I guess it opened at 8 and people probably saw the weather report before we did here and it's down to 7.5, but even at 7.5, one, I like Peterson anyway. Two, like you said, Keller is, while he's not a, he's not a superstar, but Keller is a, is fine. He's a, he's a fine pitcher. And yeah, so I certainly think with the weather conditions like we're talking about, definitely the under 7.5 would be the only way that I could bet this thing.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I will say too, you know, Peterson may come out with plus stuff because first start, probably not going to be asked to go more than five innings. He already doesn't usually go that deep. Last year when he was on his great run, he actually had a complete game shutout against the Nationals and he was going deep. But, you know, we've only seen that in 3 months of his multi-year MLB career. He historically doesn't go that deep. So you could be getting fresh arms, bullpen guys. Devin Williams could get his first work. Mm-hmm. Adrenaline from these guys making their season debuts. It could be a tough day to hit in Queens.
Baseball season's here, guys, and VSiN Pro just made it a whole lot more profitable with MLB AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI. We are giving you data-driven projections, both hitters and pitchers, compared directly to the DraftKings prop lines that are out there, so you know exactly where you sit in all this. Top value plays, strong plays, all over there, VSiN.com/MLB props.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Pretty safe bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown, Joe Cirillo. Appreciate you guys being with us. Sirius Channel 158, YouTube TV, VSiN Watch app, terrestrial stations across this great country of ours as the UFL is rocking and rolling over here. Seems like we've got a 13-10 game. I mean, just a riveting matchup between STL and DC. You know, like we're just, that's how I'm just going to refer to these teams. We didn't even know that, that they were playing today. That being said, we did say a 4-point field goal, and we did notice, Joe, that the ESPN is allowing the score bug to just keep the spread and the total on the screen at all times, which we're kind of like, all right, man, I'm down with that. Certainly, I would have no idea what the spread was in this game, so now I know, at least. Right?
You know, it's the UFL when the guys on the gambling network have no idea what the spread for this game is. I mean, you know, look, if they're taking a suggestion box, let's get some updated live numbers out there. DC is not going to cover that 4.5. That seems like a foregone conclusion here. I want to know what the live spread is. Yeah. Let's educate the people.
Yeah, I like that. We'll just we'll send a message there to ESPN. Now joining us here on the guest line, Ryan McIntyre at Moneyline_Mac over on the Twitter machine. And Ryan, I gotta admit, man, when I saw that you were going to be a guest today and the fact that you didn't walk in the studio and I'm having to talk to you through the, like, I mean, what, TSA is still a mess. Like, there's all, you could have stayed. You could have come in here this week.
I thought about it. Don't think it didn't cross my mind. You know, those flights magically just kept being delayed when I was out there in Circa last week.
Well, it was a pleasure having you here in studio, and appreciate you being here with us on Saturday as we get ready for two more games. And of course, we'll get your thoughts on tomorrow's games as well. But the first one here, Illinois and Iowa, this is 6.5 or 7 last hour. Joe and I were on here. It briefly hit 7.5 at BetMGM, and then that came and got bought up. And so we're 6.5, 7 in the market out there, 138.5 up to 139.5 out there from a total perspective. So what say you here, Iowa and Illinois?
Definitely going to be a contrast in styles here, but you do get the familiarity where Iowa, Illinois, they obviously both are in the Big Ten. They played early January. Illinois was able to get away from Iowa with the win. They won that game by 6. I'm going to trust Ben McCollum in Iowa. I think their style really translates to winning this time of year. They control the pace. They make timely shots. I think that Illinois' size and length can really bother teams, but for Iowa, they've already seen them. So they're not going to be shocked by the size and just overall length of Illinois on the perimeter and then at the rim. So I think McCollum with some adjustments here from that first meeting, I'm going to take the 7. I think this is going to be a barn burner here.
Man, I love that. I've got the same read on that game, so that's all music to my ears. Let's look at the nightcap here. You know, I don't want to disrespect, discount, or undersell this Purdue team. I think this could be a really tight one for about 30 minutes, but I do believe the Wildcats are going to pull away late and end up covering. I've got Arizona minus 5.5. How do you see this one unfolding? Are you with me or are you fading me there?
Pretty much the same. I'm treating Arizona like I treated UConn. Those two runs. I think they're an absolute wagon right now. I think that they just destroy you in the paint. They choke you out just with all their size, physicality, and just how they're able to dominate games without having to make a perimeter shot. We haven't seen a team like this in the modern day basketball era. So like the other night, they didn't even make shots and they scored 110 points against Arkansas and ran them out of the gym. So I think it's the same. I don't think Purdue can hang with them for 40 minutes. I respect Purdue. I respect Matt Painter, Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, veteran group, proud program. But overall, I just think Arizona, just too much size, physicality, and I think they will choke this out and win by double digits again.
Talking to Ryan McIntyre over at @Moneyline_Mac over on the Twitter machine. Always up for a debate, always up for some talk over there on the Twitter, so definitely give him a follow. Sports Gambling Podcast Network as well. Circle back to the Iowa-Illinois game. As we were sitting here, Ryan, we saw two different books go from 138.5 all the way up to 139.5, so it seems like some money coming in here on the over. What kind of scoring do you expect there in that Iowa-Illinois game?
So what, the first meeting I think was 75-50 or so, sorry, 75-69. So that would be what, the under slightly. I tend to go under in the Elite Eight games just because tired legs this time of year and the scouting is so good. And for two teams that have already seen each other, once before. So I'll be on the under that 139 here. I trust McCollum and Iowa to control the pace. And if they're going to control the pace, I think that this game is more in the high 60s.
Hey, let's look ahead to tomorrow here, Ryan. UConn, Duke, it's the only game in the Elite Eight of the four that I don't have a play in. I'm curious what your read on this one is. You know, Duke's got the talent, but Connecticut, man, their toughness, their coaching, the way that they can dictate pace, can they give the Blue Devils maybe more of a run for their money than St. John's did? How do you see this one unfolding?
Yeah, I'm going to take UConn. You mentioned it, Hurley, that the culture of that program. Yeah, credit to Duke, man. They find ways to win games, but I still feel like they haven't played very well, and they've kind of just, I don't know, not going through the motions, but I thought that they got a favorable whistle in that St. John's game. I call it the Duke whistle. But I think UConn's just overall pedigree, toughness with Caravan and those guards and Terrace Reed and company, I think they control the tempo here, and I think UConn's going to upset Duke. I think UConn's going to get back to a Final Four here. I trust, really love Hurley on the short turnover Shire.
Look at there. There we go. All right. So outright upset. You're not even taking the points. Yeah. You're calling your money line here. He is money line Mac. And so it is, that is plus 180. If you like UConn there in that one, Tennessee and Michigan, about 7.5 at most of the places out there right now, actually across the board, 7.5 in favor of Michigan, 146.5. The prevailing total, though, you can find a 146 flat. What say you here, Tennessee and Michigan?
How about Rick Barnes now? Three straight Elite Eights. He used to be an auto fade. Now all of a sudden, it's like Rick Barnes is a shoo-in to get back to the Elite Eight. They beat Iowa State last night. Obviously, controlled that game, blew it open late. I'm going to ride the momentum of the Vols here. I'm going to take the points. I think this will be a tight game. Not going to call for the money line in this one like UConn, but I think that this will be a physical game inside, and I think Tennessee can match Michigan's size and athleticism with their own. So Barnes, May, they met a couple years ago in the East Regional. May got him when he was at FAU. I think Barnes has a chance to return the favor here.
Hey, is there any value on a futures ticket at this point in the tournament as we enter the Elite Eight? You know, I know you said you're treating Arizona like Connecticut in their back-to-back championship seasons. plus 250. They're living around there, I believe, between plus 230 and plus 250 at varying shops. Does that entice you, or is it just bet them on a game-to-game basis at this point?
I think I'll just bet them game-to-game, just because I think there's more value in the spread and just roll it over, because they don't really win tight games. They kind of just they throttle you when they beat you. So looking at the board, I mean, if you believe in UConn, UConn's 19-1 with that culture. But I don't know if they can win all six this time around. I think that they can maybe grind one more out. They're not as explosive as they were in those two back-to-back national championships. I don't think Tennessee or Iowa will win it. You see Purdue there, what, 13-1? I mean, if you're a believer that Illinois can make enough shots, they're at plus 750. But I don't really see much value in the futures market right now.
Ryan, one more before we get out of here. Are we going to go DeBonsa? Are we going to go Peterson? Are we going to go Boozer, number one overall?
I would go Boozer. I like production. Mm-hmm. The other two were up and down. I mean, DeBonsa had a good year. His team got really banged up. I can't get on board with Peterson in one. I know that. I mean, you got to be able to, you can't just sit out games left and right because you got the sniffles or you got a cramp here and there. So I'm out on Peterson being the number one pick. I would take Boozer. I just think that his basketball IQ, winning matters. And he's been the best player in the country from start to finish, in my opinion.
He is Ryan McIntyre. You can find him at Moneyline_Mac over on the Twitter machine, of course, on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And so hopefully right here beside me here in a couple of weeks or something. You know, come on back out here, buddy. Appreciate you. We'll go downstairs. We'll have us a nice steak dinner down at Barry's. Good luck today. Appreciate the time.
Appreciate it, guys. Enjoy the madness.
Joe, I have a DeBonsa plus 370 ticket to go number one overall. And I wonder if I should add a 5-1 on Boozer. And then if Peterson goes number one, then so be it for me. But I all these guys that really into college basketball, you hear the analysts, everybody's just down on Peterson.
Yeah. I think that might be the move. If you're sitting there, you know, damn near 4-1 and then you add 5-1 to that, it's a win-win. I'm right there. I can't get there on Peterson going first overall. I think he's a great talent, but is he worth the first pick? You know, look, I don't think Boozer's worth the first pick, but I think strictly from a numbers perspective, that's the right move.
We'll continue rolling down some of these bold predictions that I had over Major League Baseball, see what Joe thinks of those. And there's all kinds of NFL draft markets, too. We're going to get into that here on Ready, Set, Bet.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Underway over in Major League Baseball, the Cardinals on the board early. One run in the bottom of the first against the Rays, so they have an early 1-0 lead on two hits there in that one. We're in the top of the second, Nats and Cubs, still scoreless there in that one. We're here for another half hour. We'll keep you updated. Anything that goes on in those games out there. And we did not talk before we came in here. So it's interesting that we have a lot of the same opinions here on some of these players and teams and whatnot. And my fourth bold prediction over on VSiN.com, Joe, was that the Braves are going to finish under 500 and might even be sellers at the deadline. And this is a team that has already been ravaged by injury. I don't know. I mean, you're relying on a 37-year-old guy. It's basically the same story with Sale as with DeGrom, right? I mean, like Sale in long injury history, when he's on, he's awesome, but it's hard to keep him out on the field with all of that. But this rotation already taking a huge hit. You got the stupid Yerkson Profar deal so he's gone for the whole season. With all that, Sean Murphy trying to make it back. You had to start the season with Spencer Strider on the IL. I mean, just every single thing that could go wrong has already gone wrong. And I wasn't super high on the team as it was anyway. So I think the Braves, there's a world that exists where the Braves might be shipping away some of this talent here at the deadline.
It's crazy to think. It really did start to feel like the Braves, when they won that World Series, might have been beginning a bit of a dynasty. Mm-hmm. And the results just haven't been there. They've struggled in the postseason when they've made it since then. And yeah, I think it's a good call. You know, I like them under their win total. Obviously, the purpose of your article was bold predictions. So if you want to take a stab at them going under 500, I do like the boldness. But yeah, I think that they're under because this is a team that, you know, when they were winning, whether it was their World Series or winning 100 games in years past, years after that World Series, it was because if someone went down, they had a guy in AAA who was ready to go, Michael Harris, Vaughn Grisham, next man up was primed and ready to go. And that lineup, even if they had one or two injuries, was still like 8-9 strong. Yep. They just don't have that anymore. They don't have that depth. They have talent, but they're really top heavy. And then Strider goes down and Schwellenbach has struggled to stay healthy. Reynaldo Lopez some way, somehow had a sub 2 ERA in 2024 last year, made one start. He's on the bump today against Kansas City. So the talent is there. And I do think the Braves will have outbursts in games where they look like world beaters. I don't think they will consistently look like world beaters. So yeah, I like their under, and I like your boldness saying maybe under 500.
I have the Pirates get a wild card spot over in the NL. And considering we don't really like the NL overall as it is anyway, I was kind of looking at some of these teams that might end up surprising, and we're both pitching geeks. You look at this rotation, and I understand Skeens had one kind of off start, but you get him and you get Ashcraft and you get Bubba Chandler, and at some point they're going to get Jared Jones back over the course of the season as well. And they went in and did make some pickups in the offseason. I mean, you're looking at Brandon Lau, you're looking at Marcelo Zuna, you're looking at Ryan O'Hearn to go along with a couple of little pieces that they already had, and O'Neill Cruz. And yeah, we ragged on his fielding, but this is a guy that does produce at the plate. Spencer Horowitz is a guy that could contribute as well. Like, I think that there is a world that exists where we look up and on the strength of the starting rotation, a decent bullpen, and some hitters that I think kind of under the radar, this Pirates team might be competing for a wild card spot.
I see where you're coming from. I don't see the result at the end of the day. And I feel like Pittsburgh, this might be like 2 or 3 years in a row where people are saying this about them. And so maybe they finally have their breakthrough, but I feel like it's always, hey, the Pirates could be frisky this year. Watch out. And then they at some point crap the bed. I'm out on them as a playoff team. I agree that the National League is down, that the National League could be wide open, that the playoffs could look funky and weird. But, you know, I think it's much more likely that a team like Milwaukee exceeds expectations, which are, you know, on an annual basis set way too low for them. And sure, they sell Peralta and Tobias Myers and some bats, and they'll still find ways to win. You know, I have more faith in a Milwaukee roster that might be less recognizable than a Pittsburgh roster. And I look at this lineup. Sure, they made the additions. I love Brandon Lau. By the way, can we just quickly address Brandon Lau's first inning home run against Peralta? The expected batting average on that home run was 0.030. It had a 77 mile per hour exit velo. I don't know how that ball gets out in any stadium that's not Yankee Stadium. I could not believe that the wind carried that thing barely to the front row. That was like such a routine pop-up off the bat that somehow left the park. Now his second one he jacked, and I love Brandon Lau. He's great. I don't love their production from, you know, positions that you should get offense out of. The corner infield, you know, with Gonzalez at third and Horowitz, I don't see as much production there as you should out of a first baseman. I just don't think the Pirates are a playoff team. I actually, in that division, like the Reds again, who people are expecting to regress. At the end of the day, they have Terry Francona at the helm. They're going to win games. They're going to win close games because they have one of the best managers in Major League Baseball. I like the Reds more than the Pirates.
Number six, the Dodgers could win 103 games, which would clear their either 102.5 or 101.5 total that you have out there. But I don't think that they really care about it, and I don't think that they're going to. And mainly because this is a team that is so deep and so built for the postseason. And I think we're going to see some IL stints for dudes that are basically just rest. I mean, there are some dudes in their 30s that they're going to need to contribute, you know, down the stretch in the postseason, obviously. And of course, as they're going for the World Series yet again. And so basically with this one is, Joe, I'm not saying the Dodgers aren't talented. Obviously they are uber talented. They are ridiculously talented, but I think they're playing for the postseason. I think they're playing for the World Series. And I don't think they're going to press it with any guy. Like if Shohei wakes up Ryan was talking about guys having the sniffles. If Freddie Freeman has the sniffles, or if Shohei has the sniffles or whatever, those dudes are going to sit out, because we are not going to see them worried about winning a meaningless game in July. And even remotely take a chance on sacrificing the World Series. So that's kind of my take there on the Dodgers.
Matt, I think of the six takes that I've heard thus far, this one is absolutely my favorite. Last 2 years, they're World Series champs. They haven't gone over a win total. Have they won 100 games?
Last year's 98. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think they won 100 the year before. I could be wrong, but I know that they've gone under their win total consecutive years. I don't think they've won 100 either year. I think you're 1,000% right. And, you know, I mean, the hitters will play most days, but the pitchers certainly will have rest. Tyler Glass now is not capable of pitching a full season. Mm-hmm. When he's on, he's as good as anyone. The guy has like 45 career wins for a reason. He is not capable of staying out there. Yamamoto might need a blow after his postseason heroics last year. He might need a break at some point. You know, Sasaki is still young and I believe still adjusting and acclimating to the different pitching schedule and pitching style here in the U.S. in the MLB. I absolutely think that there are going to be points in time where the Dodgers play with their food and that they will not go over their win total. Now, the NL as a whole, like, I think they'll be the one seed because I think the National League will only have two teams win 90 games and the Dodgers will be one of them. And I think that they'll win 96, 97, 98 and be a one seed. They don't need to win 105 to be a one seed.
Let me skip down to one here that I think you might like. And I have that Nolan McLain leads the majors in wins. And the reason I say this is basically because I think this Mets team is going to be very good. And I think they're going to win a lot of games. Wins are kind of random as it is anyway. And so why not go in for a guy that is supremely talented on a team that I think wins a ton of games, and he's 50-1 to lead the majors in wins. The run support should be there. The bullpen is going to be good. The team will be a buyer if they need to be, if they need to plug any holes or anything like that. And this is one of the best young arms in all of baseball. And so with the price that was attached to him, Joe, it was too much for me to pass up. I mean, again, I think that this guy could be, by the time we get to the end of the season, we're talking about him as one of the top 15 starters in all of baseball. And maybe, just maybe, a guy that leads majors and wins.
So, Matt, I'm going to show you why I'm such a good friend right now, because I read this article as soon as it was posted, as good friends do. And something that you wrote stood out to me. At a price like 50-1, it doesn't have to be likely to happen. It just has to be possible. And that's the key here. That's why this is a great bet. You're not saying Nolan McLain is a shoe-in to lead the league in wins, but my goodness, at that price, it just has to be realistic. There has to be a world out there where that's a possibility, and there certainly is. And I mean, look, this is a guy, I think you hit the nail on the head when I describe him. I also say top 15 starting pitcher in baseball. So 50-1, I think that that is mispriced, and you are spot on in that bet being a great value bet.
Yeah, I absolutely loved that. I could not believe the number that was attached. I get it. There's not a long history there with all that, but a good pitcher on a good team that's going to score a lot of runs and all that. I thought that that was a great price. Guys, if you've got a group chat full of hot takes, Cut was built for you. Cut's a social betting platform that lets you bet directly against your friends or other users based on basically anything. So sports, politics, pop culture, even personal bets. So every bet is fully customizable and pre-funded, which means no more chasing someone down when they lose. No flaking, no excuses, just results. And unlike traditional betting apps, Cut actually gives you cash back on every single bet that you make, even against your friends. Now you can get a 15% deposit bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. So head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, or download in the App Store today, promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N.
Ready, set, bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, set, bet here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown, Joe Cirulla. 15 more minutes of us. You're going to want to hang around, though, because VSIN's with you all day long and keep you updated on all the baseball games that are going on. Of course, we will have National Basketball Association and, of course, the Elite Eight games as well. So stick around. Ben Stevens, Dustin Sweetelson for Live Bet Saturday, then Brad Taylor, Will Hill will take over after those guys. We do have some runs in baseball. We only got two games going, but we're 2-0 Cardinals over the Rays here early, and then the Cubs just got one across, I think, on a sacrifice fly there on Michaelis that we were talking about. So Cubs up 1-0 early. Nope, that just got down, so it's going to be 2-0. It's going to be 2-0 Cubs. So there we go. Bottom of the second inning, 2-0.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, 2-0 Cubs there. Miles Michaelis, as we expected, not getting a ton of outs here early, and Cubs 2-0 in the bottom of the second.
That got down? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow. Right fielder was playing way off the line. You know, man, my gripe with Miguel Amaya, I'm out here, and you were a little ahead of me with that. Obviously, I gave out earlier in the show, Cubs first five over 2.5. So now they're at 2 in the second, and they have a guy on third, 90 feet away from a second inning cash on that against Michaelis. Miguel Amaya last year was 18 for 38 with runners on base. That's a .474 clip. Small sample size, but still really damn good. And I'm getting frustrated because, like, these guys are helping Michaelis. He swung at a pitch early in this at-bat that almost hit him on the shoulder. And I'm like, what the hell are we doing out here? PCA, who was 7-for-9 off Michaelis' career with 5 homers, he went down swinging on a 94-mile-per-hour fastball, which I didn't know Michaelis had 94 in the tank still. But, like, come on, 94 nowadays is like 87 back in the day. So I was starting to get worried. But here's Bush. Came into this one 5-for-16 off Michaelis with 3 home runs, second best stat line behind only PCA. And my winning run on this bet, 90 feet away.
You know, we just get a challenge on the first pitch to Bush right there that was called a ball, overturned for a strike. And I am curious with the ABS system here, Joe, as to what the accuracy percentage is going to be at the end of the year, because these catchers and these hitters know the zone so well that if they are willing to challenge it, it would not shock me if we get to the end of the season and they're like 80% correct. Because it's just like, if a catcher is willing to challenge it, he's going to be pretty sure that it was a strike, right? I mean, and the batters, if they're going to be willing to do it as well, and you've just cashed because we just had an absolute blunder out there in the outfield. That's a way to cash a ticket. There we go. Two guys just run right into each other, and 4-0 now, Cubs. Oh, no. So there we go, buddy. Well done. Well done.
And you know what, Matt, is it because is this going to be an error? I'm watching it right now. So, Matt, if that's an error, and I don't know because of the collision, if they'll rule it an error or a hit. Remember, when I gave this bet out, the alternative was Michaelis over 2.5 earned runs. Mm-hmm. And that was -140. So I said, go with the over 2.5 first five, because it doesn't matter if they're earned or unearned. Yeah, and if those are unearned runs, that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they're going to be able to give that an error, because who do you give it to? Because it was, okay, so they gave it to the left fielder. So they did
rule it an error.
Yeah, huh? They go E7. Oh, that's tough. He got ran into by the shortstop. That's a rough error.
Yeah. Oh. To me, it's a hit because of the collision.
Yeah.
Even though, like, you know, the golden rule, right? If it hits your glove, it's an error. If it does, like, I don't think O'Neal Cruz got charged with an error for the pop-up. That
lets, like, you know, that's all we have to say right there, is that, like, you've got to allow these official scorers at least a little leeway in some of these things or whatever. Because, like, O'Neal Cruz misplayed 2 balls horrifically, and neither one of them go down as errors. I mean, like, that's just...
First one, the one that Beatty hit was a piss missile.
Yeah.
I think that's a hit. But the second one, to me, I'm like, I know it didn't touch his glove, but that's got to be an error. That was more of an error than this because of the collision factor.
Yeah, it's just
Michaelis is at, stop me if I'm wrong, is he at 2 earned runs?
So he's going to be at 2 earned. Yeah, he's going to be at 2 earned and 2 unearned here. But you're 4 or across here in the bottom of the second, and that's all we care about.
And that's why people should watch this program and Ready, Set, Bet, because Cubs first five over 2.5 has already cashed. Michaelis over 2.5, if that's what you took, has not yet cashed.
We, again, 2-0 Cardinals over the Rays. We get another hit for Weatherholt there. I mean, he's going to be a stud there for this rebuilding Cardinals team, but unfortunately, they're not going to win very many games this year as they do rebuild. But they're across here early, and 2-0 for the Cardinals. 1-0 on the short season, Tampa 0-1 on the short season here. Guys, stop paying full price for gas. We talk about it all the time on the program. Stop doing it. Don't do it. Go in, download the Upside app, and they are going to give you money back for the gas that you were buying anyway. You can earn up to $200, $300 a year. Go in, promo code Saturday, so like the day today, 25 cents back per gallon on your first tank, and you can cash out anytime to your bank account or e-gift cards. like Amazon. So you go in, it is a free download, the Upside app, download for free, promo code Saturday, like the day that it is today. And with that, you're going to get a limited time 25 cent per gallon. Bonus offers vary by user and location. Please see upside.com for additional details. And Joe, as we know, it is very expensive right now to put gas in your car. So if you can save 25 cents per gallon, you might as well do it.
I mean, look, that's why I wanted to live 3.5 miles from the beach so I don't have to drive to the beach, Matt. I've been using my car as little as possible lately, my man.
So real quick to get through the rest of these and get your thoughts real quick. I said AL Rookie of the Year is going to be somebody in the double digits from an odds perspective. And again, it's nothing against the shorties. I think they're all studs. There's no doubt about it. But there are just so many good players over in the AL when it comes to rookies. And of course we see DeLauder go out 2 homers in his opening day game. I mean, all this, there's so many good young dudes over in the AL that I just think there's probably going to be somebody, I'm not going to say come out of nowhere, because these are all dudes that we know if you follow baseball and have some sort of pedigree, but certainly are going to come from, I think, way down the odds board.
I want that on a shirt, man. Nothing against the shorties. Let's get that on a shirt. Let's start selling them. Yeah, you know, rookie of the year markets are so dang tough, yeah. Right? Because this is also one of those things where it's like, it could easily go to a guy who's not in the bigs yet in April, mm-hmm. right? I mean, look back, we talked about him earlier in the show because he got scratched today. And if you folks weren't tuned in back then and you missed it, Jacob DeGrom scratched from his start for Texas against the Phillies. But look at DeGrom, right? He wasn't on anyone's radar in 2015, yep. And he makes his debut in May, and he goes on and has a sensational rookie campaign. He had that, you know, I think his first start, he went like 7 innings of one run ball in the Subway Series against the Yankees. And if you recall, they were 2-game series back then. The back-to-back major league debuts, it was Rafael Montero, who is now a relief pitcher, and DeGrom. Montero was the highly touted guy. DeGrom was an afterthought, right? Syndergaard was coming up a month later. It was always Syndergaard and Montero. No one talked about DeGrom. He comes up in May, and he's got the Rookie of the Year campaign. So it could be a guy who's not on anyone's radar right now in March, or maybe not even in April. And that's why I agree it is always better to look down the board.
The last two, if you're wondering, guys, I have Andres Munoz to lead the majors in saves. He is the closer for the Mariners. I also have Helsley from the Orioles. I think both of those teams are going to win some games. I don't know if they're going to be blowout games, and so I think there'll just be a lot of opportunity there. And then, Joe, I have the final four teams, Dodgers and Mets, Orioles and Red Sox. What do you think?
I think that I hope your Munoz ticket cashes, and I hope Ryan Helsley's out of a job. I have PTSD from Ryan Helsley with the Mets second half. God, I mean, all that, what was his walk-in song? Was he an Enter Sandman guy? He had like the whole, it wasn't Enter Sandman. He had the whole production for his walk-in song in like the 8th inning, and he just sucked. So I'll root for your Munoz ticket there. I like it. We both seem to love Seattle, I think, at least in the regular season. Right now, you know, I mentioned it's not big plus money, but Seattle at even money in your mm-hmm. account for the next 6 months, it's better than the stock market, yeah. If you ask me. I like that play. Your final four, it was Orioles, Red Sox, Mets, Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the Orioles a lot. Sox improved their pitching. AL's wide open. Look, my World Series is Mariners over the Dodgers. So I have Seattle there. Mm-hmm. I like Baltimore or the Red Sox as potentially their opposition in the ALCS. Mm-hmm. I'm really high on the Orioles. I dig it. Mets Dodgers, you might be higher on my Mets than I am. It's wishful thinking. I hope we get there. I don't know. But Mariners Dodgers, that's my World Series.
Iowa, Illinois going to tip off here in a few hours, guys. 6.5, 7 right now out there. We both like taking the points here with Iowa there in that one. 138-139.5 is your total out there. And then Purdue and Arizona a little bit later. There is still the 1-6 at Caesars if you want the 6 with Purdue. Or you can lay the 5.5 with Arizona. I think we're going against everybody here, Joe. I think we're going to lay the points with Arizona.
Yeah, let's do it, man. It's good to go against everybody. I definitely don't want to be on the public side.
Guys, again, don't go anywhere. Live Bet Saturday. Ben Stevens, Dustin Sweetelson coming up. And then it'll be Brad Taylor and Will Hill. And Greg Peterson taking over the desk here tonight. We will be back. It was fun today. Why don't we do it again tomorrow, Joe?
Let's do it again mañana. I love it.
Good luck on all your bets, guys.